dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed now? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alan Watt standing in for Jackie, who's suffering from some battle fatigue right now. And I'll hope to put us through an hour of various types of information. Today is the 2nd of August, 2005, and as most of you probably know by now, I live up here in Canada, further north from Toronto, and our temperatures hit 110 degrees today, and they stayed in the 90s right until about 8 p.m. While this was happening, of course, they were spraying the skies with their beautiful new trails, which they've been laying for some years now. And perhaps those who watch more consistently will notice the different types which they've been creating in the last year or so, which are different from the first chemtrails that we used to see. They're becoming rather artistic with it. And today, along with all the usual little fluff balls and with the curly tails they were creating, there was actually a three-legged swastika, like a nebula. And of course, the three-legged swastika is the symbol for the Isle of Man, where a lot of the wealthy rich of Britain do their banking. So I thought that's quite the coincidence to watch this being made above your head. Another thing too that people are noticing, people who wear glasses or sunglasses, are having to clean them much more often than they used to, because there's an oily film keeps developing on the glass, and this is from the polymer, which that gives you that hazy look in the sky when they're spraying. It's from the polymer coming down to ground level. So they're really laying it on now with advanced science. And as we're all well aware, there's no one in the regular media going to go anywhere near this subject. They won't touch it with a barge pole. So they've all got their standing orders that they're out the door, and probably so is their pension too, if anyone tries to inform the media. The media being what it is, mind you, hand-picked in the first place, individually, well, it's no hard job to get them to comply, because they're a bunch of prostitutes as far as I'm concerned. They've been selling the people down the river for many, many years, and they're all for, of course, this whole New World Order. And amongst the journalistic class, you'll find they believe themselves they're part of the elite, because they are really the fourth estate. They're an essential part of government, and always have been. They give the public the view the public is supposed to believe in on all topics. They give us our versions, our topics of conversation. They dish it out to us every day, right down to trivialities which don't affect anybody, but they will not touch any of the main subjects, like the Bilderberger meetings or the main CFR meetings, which is coupled with the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which was set up back in the late 1800s in Britain to bring in a world government based on the English style of democracy, which is under royalty. And we must never forget that the top of Britain, being a model for the world for this particular system, you still have the monarchy and the aristocracy and all of the relatives of the monarchy, basically, we call it the establishment in Britain, they run the show and they tell Parliament what to do. And any politician who's really clawing to get up there, and that's basically a criterion to be a politician, you want to climb up there, they do what they're told by the establishment and put the bills through that they're told to put through. So really, we live in a world which is almost like the movie The Matrix, where although The Matrix took place in a sort of internet system, an internet reality, this is the reality here. We're living through it, and we can't unplug our heads from the actual internet once we feel tired. We've got to play this game every day, and those who are aware of what's been going on and been following what's going on, I'm sure everyone's feeling a form of fatigue simply by understanding the horror show which we're living in today. And those who have done the research themselves and the studying, I'm sure, can't help but come to that conclusion that we are living in a nightmare, because those behind all of this wrote about their whole plan centuries ago. And in the 18th century and then into the 19th century, quite a few of their mouthpieces put up books detailing their agenda, and even timetables. Lenin talked about it coming in at the end of the millennium and into the new. That's when the big changes would take place in the West. And he said that in about 1915. So this is an old plan we're living through. Charles Galton Darwin, who spoke on behalf of the elite in his book The Next Million Years, he talked about the necessity in a post-industrial Western society of depopulating all of the useless eaters, you might say, to borrow a phrase from Bertrand Russell. They believe that everyone exists for their economic system. That's what our function is. And of course, today we are living not only in a post-industrial era, the industry's been moved off to China, we're post-technological as well, and even all the computer industry is basically farmed out to the Far East as well. So we really only have one function left, and apart from consuming all the goods that are brought in from the Far East, we're all supposed to be the world's policemen and force the rest of the world, the Muslim countries, into the same system that we live under. So we are economic units in a very sophisticated system which did not evolve by itself. It was planned this way. Every part was planned in minute detail. The public's response to every part of the plan has been worked out like a battle plan in advance, and psychologists and sociologists help put all this together to give us our news and how we should cope with our news and what we should think about our news. It's all done for us, whereas we ourselves have to just sit back and be downloaded and then just parrot what we're told. That's how simple this Skinnerian system really is. It's not difficult when you realize that thousands of think tanks are employed full-time to plan your thoughts for the future and what you're going to experience in the future, and right down to how you will react to those experiences in the future. So we are in the Matrix, as I say, and we can't get unplugged so easily. So one of the problems we have at the moment, of course, is the barrage of even shortwave news, which goes on incessantly about the minute details, and we get a blow-by-blow account of what they are doing to us, the big they, you see, and what countries are doing the saber-rattling towards America, such as China and so on. And then that's all nonsense, because the boys who own the West also own lock, stock and barrel China. And no one in China acts on his own. They take orders from the same elite, the global elite, who set them up in business and finance them. Apart from us, of course, because we did finance the moving of industry under the GATT Treaty. We paid for factories to pull up from Canada, the States, and Europe to China, and we paid for the transportation of all tooling and machinery, and we also signed treaties that we would pay all losses that those firms would incur during the first 5 years of operation. Canada gave them two or three CANDU new nuclear reactors, and they gave them the reactors. At the time, John Chrétien was the Prime Minister, and he came back from China with his big jumbo jet full of businessmen, not ordinary businessmen, obviously, but corporate leaders, which the taxpayers funded once again. And he said, oh, we'll have jobs, jobs, jobs. But what he didn't say was, the jobs are all in China. And he said, well, we've got a good deal with selling these nuclear reactors to China. And they mentioned the figures in the billions. But then about 4 months later in the Toronto Sun, halfway through the paper, in between sports and sex and everything else, there was one paragraph that said an update on the CANDU reactors to China. And that was that China would not have to begin payment back to Canada for 25 years. And if they still felt they couldn't make the payments, it would be postponed for another 25 years. Now, Canada doesn't have billions to throw around. And what they didn't say was Mr. Chrétien borrowed from the World Bank the money to loan to China. So the taxpayers of Canada were the guarantors for that loan. So we pay off the whole loan. And that's how these scams all work, you see. They don't even bother, as the communists supposedly did, they didn't even bother to steal your money quietly. They had to lie about it too. And of course we have great liars in the West as politicians. No matter how much respect they've been trying to gain for themselves through propaganda and the media building them up to be holier than thou and astute, upright men, it's amazing how our forefathers understood that politicians were basically liars. That's what they do. They're very good liars, and many of them are lawyers as well, and I'm sure it's no coincidence that liar and lawyer sound very much alike, you know. So these guys have sold us all out for their own personal ends and gain, and they also get superior medical treatment. I think it's 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, an odd thing happened in the Western countries where the politicians murmured about a deal being made that they and their relatives would be treated for life at very top military establishments. So that was another perk they got added to it all. And, of course, I wondered why in this great democracy where we're all supposedly treated equally, that the general population has to wait in sort of factory queues to get in to see a doctor, because that's what we have in Canada, basically. You might have to schedule an appointment 2 months in advance. And by that time, you're either dead or cured, one of the two. So we live in a fantasy land where our thoughts are dished out to us by experts. Our topics of conversation are doled out to us. And they understand human nature. They've always understood human nature. Man has been the most perfectly studied creature on this planet. And the creatures who do the studying, of course, have been here for thousands of years too. And since knowledge is power, knowledge is never lost. It's put into places called archives. For the public, you get public libraries. And of course, that's all authorized public libraries. So every book in there is authorized for your consumption, but you will never see or get access to the real archives where the real information is kept. When I was at school in Scotland, I can remember getting this vague history of Scotland and how it tried to stop the Normans from coming in, and it was successful to a great extent, except the nobles began to intermarry with them, and they took over the lordships through marriage. Scotland fought the Romans before that, could not defeat. The Normans couldn't come in either with an army because they were being defeated as well. So they simply used money, bribery, and intermarriage to take over Scotland. But trying to get the history of Scotland from our schools was a difficult task. And what I found out later was that since Scotland was a colony of England, you see, then technically they didn't want any bad news being given to the Scots, like what happened in Scotland in the 1800s when they cleared the Highlands, the 1700s and 1800s, and they put off millions of people into rickety old boats to go to the New World or Australia or wherever they were sending them, and they were being forced off at the point of the gun. Many of the boats sank just off the coast, and the relatives on the shoreline could watch their relatives dying and drowning. So all of this history was wiped out of the history books by a decree from London, so that the Scots would never be upset about London and the way it's run its country. This is the type of whitewashing we have throughout history, and it goes along with the plans and the format set out by John Dewey, who said himself that all conflicts, past conflicts between nations, when it comes to the defeated nations, they will basically be wiped off the record, so no one will know. But I was very lucky in that I had an adult reference library, and the reference books went back to 1500s, and they had documentation from even the newspapers in the 1600s and 1700s. And so I found out I was being taught nothing but lies at school as far as history went, and there I am at night going to the libraries and studying up on what really happened. And what really happened was a horror show. People visit Scotland today and they look around the Highlands and say it's so beautiful, this empty barren countryside and hills and mountains and so on, and what they fail to realize, if the Highlanders hadn't been kicked off their land, it wouldn't be so bare and barren as it is today. And that was the technique used by London, which really was an ancient Middle Eastern technique, was had been used in ages past, where they, in the times of the Nero and Caesars and so on, they moved people around the world at will. Anyone who caused them trouble, they simply moved them off their land and put them into another country. That was standard operating procedure, and this was going on right up to the present time. We find the U.S. went into Somalia. The next thing we know, there are documentaries on the CBC television in Canada, and they're showing you these high-rises built to house the Somalians who left Somalia. And the Canadian government, or taxpayer, flew them all in and supported them. So this idea of kicking people off their land is not new. In present-day Iraq, the U.S. is still attacking various towns. They have a rotation schedule where they go in and bomb it and strafe it and cause terror, and a lot of people are moving away. That's the point of it all. They want them to move. So when we look at this technique of getting people to move who are obstinate and no one likes leaving the country they're being born into, we have to look at the UN agenda. And they want everyone to move from the rural areas in every country. and move into these habitat areas, as they call them, human habitat areas, these artificial compounds, you might call them too, where they say in their own website, I haven't checked it, but I've had good documentation sent to me on the subject, and they say there'll be no private property. There will be no ownership of vehicles either, automobiles, public transportation only. And of course your life from birth to death will be watched and observed and regulated by experts, you see, NGO experts. And they have experts for everything. And that goes right back to the format of Bertrand Russell, Lord Bertrand Russell, who experimented with school children back in the early 1900s, long before Skinner. And he brought in the free love thing too. That was another mandate which they knew they'd have to use. So Bertrand Russell pushed this free love, no marriage, just go from one partner to the next, and he was encouraging the children in these special controlled schools that he'd set up to do this very thing. And then they studied the psychological effects on the children who went through all of this, and they followed their lives right through their entire lives. They tried to implement the same program in the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, by making booze cans naughty but nice, you see. Taboo but nice, the very thing that teenagers flocked to. They brought in the miniskirt at that time. They brought in booze and sex, just do it, and all the sort of dance songs to go with it. But because of all the pregnancies that occurred from it, they had to start building like crazy boys' towns and girls' towns all over the place to accommodate the offspring. They didn't have all the abortion clinics to take care of the fallout, you see. They didn't have the medical facilities to take care of all the venereal disease, which also skyrocketed in the 1920s. And so they went back to their desk again and drew up the plans, and then they worked hard to get the pill. That was a prime priority, and they thought, well, better than just booze, we'll bring out drugs, hallucinogenic drugs like LSD, which is if you just speak LSD you got lucid, you see. And lucid is clear, and it's another name for Lucifer, which is just a little joke that they throw in there. But they brought out the drugs in the 60s with the rock and roll. They called it a revolution in music, a revolution in sex. And they had the abortion clinics ready, the private ones that you could pay for. And they also had the street medical facilities where you could walk in and get shots for any venereal disease that you might have picked up. So these guys don't give up. They never alter their agenda, by the way. They simply take it back to the drawing board and try to iron out any problems that they have. So when we realize how old this agenda is, and that it happened long before, it was on the go long before you were born, long before FDR. You can go back into the days of Sumer. The rabbis themselves talk about the agenda beginning around 4,500 BC, an agenda which was to take over the entire planet under one government, one rule, with an elite to rule it, and every facet of humanity to be run by experts. They don't like this untidy method of people being individualistic and deciding what they want to work at or what they want to do for themselves, and going off and maybe building a place here or there. It's just too untidy for them, you see. We're dealing with control freaks, and these control freaks just don't let up. They can't let up. That's their nature. They want it to be under their control, and they'll decide where we live, how we live, and what we say, and everything else, and what we do. This again was all experimented with within the Soviet Union, where they did have school to work. You were tested at the age of 5 and 6 for any special qualities or any areas of study, And then they said, okay, you're going to be an engineer, and you're going to be a laborer, and you're going to be a plumber. And you were only taught what you had to be taught to make you a plumber or an engineer. You didn't get any extra curriculum or any extra history or geography or science. It was irrelevant to the controllers. All you had to know was how to do your job when you left school. And that is the same idea that's coming here. It's too untidy, you see, to have people being taught all these different things and then deciding what they want to do. Why not save the bucks, train them in one area only, and you have a dumb, stupid population who don't know very much except how to fix taps, perhaps, or make a technical drawing on something. But that society is a very easily managed society, because they're kept in ignorance of all the other generalities and studies. So from a control freak point of view, that would be perfection, you see. And we know where it's going from there. We know that Arthur Koestler, or Koestler, depending how you pronounce it, which is K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R, he worked for Stalin as an officer, and he helped starve the people in the Ukraine. He talks about it in a book which he wrote called The Ghost in the Machine. And The Ghost in the Machine, by the way, is the elusive part that psychiatrists can't pin down. It's you see. It's the essence which is you. The real you. It's elusive to these characters. And so Arthur Koestler came from this communist country as a communist officer, and he went over and taught in universities in the United States and New York, and he was attached to the United Nations, and he worked in think tanks, global think tanks, where different groups of scientists had their speciality, all working from their own area of expertise on the same subject. And the subject was, how do we remove that part of the brain in individuals that gives them their personal identity? It lets them know that you are you, distinct from other people. And his expertise was in the psychological approach coupled with drugs. And he also worked with surgeons who were doing various kinds of lobotomies and so on, when they were pretending that was a cure for depression. They had lots of people to experiment on, and many people came back to the U.S. from abroad in the military in World War II, and they were having prefrontal lobotomies, actual post-orbital, it's behind the eye, and this was supposed to be a treatment for the battle fatigue and the shock they'd gone through. Meanwhile, of course, they all got studied for the rest of their lives to see how it affected their personality. So Koestler had all this information, and he was trying to find new ways for the near future, and how to do the same thing. How do we destroy that part of the person that makes them an individual? Because individuals, you see, are very problematic. They take whims and fancies, they go through fads. They're just not controllable, you see. People who are sovereign individuals want to do their own thing, and the elite just can't have that. It's just too messy and too untidy for their system. So Koestler worked with other surgeons, with chemists and so on, and they found ways that they could target a specific area of the brain and knock it out, basically. You might call it a chemical castration of the brain. They didn't want to destroy your higher abilities of mathematics and passing on information and so on. What they wanted to do was to stop your individual and analyzing abilities on those particular topics. In other words, you could repeat stuff, but you couldn't think of it yourself. So it's a break coming up, so I'll be back shortly. I think it takes about 2 minutes, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Well, we're back again. And remember, it is important to send in money, because I think Jackie's show is probably the only one where you can still reflect various points of view, which the rest of them steer clear of. And remember, Jackie's address is Jackie Petrou, and that's P.O. Box 190, Millerton, which is M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania. The postal code is 16936. And you can send donations to Jackie to keep it on the air. We have enough stress, as I say, by understanding and keeping our finger on the pulse of what's going on, that we don't need the added stress of the finances, which is always there. So do what you can. My name is Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T, and I have 3 books for sale. I go through a lot of the history of the last few thousand years in this agenda. I go through Freemasonry, and I don't begin with the usual nonsense that it all started with the guilds, the tradesmen guilds in the Middle Ages. No, that was only a small part of it. It's been here for thousands of years, and secret societies are well documented in ancient Rome. So my name is Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T, if you want one or all of the books. They're $25 each, which is payable in U.S. international postal order, which you get at your post office. It must be international. And my address is Site 41, S-I-T-E, 41. Box 4, Astaire, which is spelled, it's like Fred Astaire, only with an E. It's E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. That's P3E4N1. And my telephone number is 705-695-0416. That's 705-695-0416. And you can call me if you have something to talk about. I don't like preachers because I don't need to be saved, you see. I always say that Jesus saves, but I'm not sure what bank he uses. And since people today have no idea what it really means, although they've been told by the World Council of Churches that they think they know what it means, they're just whistling in the dark. And so are most of their followers. Religion is one of the prime means of mind control. Yes, it gives comfort because it's designed to do so, but it doesn't give you answers to anything, and it also tells you to obey government. That obviously was tacked in there by the priests who took over in Rome. It's so odd that they're following a man who was killed for his viewpoints and for speaking out freely against the corruption of his age. And he spoke out against the priesthoods who ran the religion. He spoke out against the bankers who were in cahoots with the priests, as they always are. And they killed him for it, you see. And so in the New Testament, somewhere in Paul, somebody added, obey government because it's put there by God. Well, if you believe that, then don't decry Adolf Hitler because he was elected into government. Don't decry Bonaparte, Napoleon, when he took over. Don't decry Lenin. In other words, every tyrant that was put in under your own philosophy was put there by God. So that's your problem, and you'll have to deal with that yourselves. Especially when you're following someone who definitely spoke out against it. That's your double think of today. Now, getting back to Arthur Koestler, working in the think tanks for the United Nations, he did say that they were successful by different means, by chemicals, and I've no doubt they used sodium fluoride, which is in the tap water in the cities. It's in the toothpaste. It was used in the Soviet Union, and it was also used by Nazi Germany, and because they knew the effects of it. It slowed down the brain. It slowed your intellect. But Koestler also talked about more efficient biochemical means where they could actually attach organisms if they want to like viruses or bacterium, to specific hormones which go straight to your brain and attack that vital area. Once again, this part of the brain that they want to knock out is you. It's who you are. It's what gives you your ability to perceive yourself as a distinct, independent individual, distinct from others. But that's a nuisance, you see, to the controlling elite. They have to use massive media and propaganda to keep each individual happy today. They've got all these services out there, and they have to put sports on for people to keep them occupied, or movies with sex or violence and all this kind of stuff. But the fact is, if they could possibly destroy that part of the brain, they wouldn't need all of this anymore. And maybe that's the right way to go, because we wouldn't need the media anymore either. I wonder if they've thought of that. What happens to them when they're no longer required? What happens to all the sports commentators too, and all the networks when they're no longer required? Because under that last meeting that was held, World Meeting of Scientists, sponsored and paid for by the U.S. Department of Commerce and headed off or kicked off by Newt Gingrich, which didn't appear in the newspapers, these characters, these scientists, have a chip ready to implant in the brain. And lo and behold, the main scientist from Japan said, it will be the end of individuality as we know it. It will be more like the beehive, in fact, he said, because everyone will be interlinked with a regional computer which will direct them as one would direct a robot. So they won't need media to keep people happy, because people will be quite dumb and happy as their program tells them to be. They won't need the sports, and so they won't even need politicians eventually. I wonder if they've thought what they're going to do, or what their function would be in such a future. because politicians, outside of their job, are the most useless creatures you'll ever meet. The men don't know anything about fixing anything or how anything works. All they do is sit and scheme, and their job is to get other people to work for them. That's what politicians do. They're psychopathic personalities. They have no function in any other system than this one. So, as I say, Arthur Koestler wrote about it in The Ghost and the Machine, and that book is definitely worth a read. And in the last chapter, he goes through the whole agenda, and he thinks it's just wonderful, you see, that they'll have peace on the planet. There'll be this strange utopia for the elite, who will not, by the way, take a chip or have their mind altered in any way, because they have to guide the planet. And as he said, and as Charles Galton Darwin said, and as the scientists at the Loyola University meeting said, he said that only the elite will need their faculties because they will be guiding the ship. In other words, their ability for self-survival, self-preservation will be functioning, whereas the masses will not, because the masses will have all their problems taken care of for them by the state. So this Borg mentality that they showed us in the Star Trek movies, the original B, that's what Borg stands for, by the way. We are the worker bee. And they lived in square spaceships because they were the Ashler, the Masonic Ashler. They were squared. They were not natural. They were part cyborg. And everyone was connected to a central computer, just like they talked about at the meeting at Loyola University. And they have the technology to do this. At that meeting, they said the only problem they have at the moment is convincing the public to accept it. That's the only problem. They have everything ready to go. It's been tried and tested over many years on unsuspecting people, and they want to go ahead with the beginning in 2009. And hopefully, they said, they'd have it completed by 2018 or 2019. And also, one of the main speakers, politics, by the way, wasn't mentioned once at this meeting. This meeting, which churned out 600 pages of their agenda and was totally ignored by the media, although many of the media guys were present. They said that they will promote this from kindergarten. They'll promote it as a positive thing in school. They'll promote it through all novels, all magazines, all fiction writings, and then movies. Now, these guys didn't say we would like it to be promoted. No, they said it's going to be promoted. And that's how things really work, you see, in this matrix that we live in. They didn't mention politics because they are well aware that politics is a sideshow for the public. Many years ago, they found out that the public would rebel and overthrow total corruption. So they came up with this thing called democracy, where if you think you can change the system every 4 years, you go ahead and vote. And then after the next 4 years, well, we'll vote for someone else. And that stops them having all these problems as they fill their pockets with our money at the top, and as they make us work for less money, or devalue the money, or rob us from our taxes, etc., and hand it out to their corporate buddies and foreign insurers. If you wonder why Africa is poor, read the agendas. Read the economist, the great economist John Stuart Mills, who wrote about it in the 1800s, that the black man was to be basically eradicated because he would not fit in to the Western economic system. He said some will survive, and his own words were, because they can mimic the white man. But those who couldn't mimic the white man were to be eradicated. And we see AIDS decimating Africa. Absolutely. And we know, too, it was definitely the smallpox, the free smallpox shots that the UN went around and gave them all and tried to blame on the failure to change needles from one person to the next, which was a nice cover story because the AIDS virus is well documented. Including the funding to create this thing which would destroy a person's autoimmune system And so a common cold would turn into chronic bronchitis or pneumonia and kill you. That's how it works. This is the horror show that we do live in, and those people who are on the air and who are genuine, and not all of them are, understand this and have to live with this knowledge every day. They're not off chasing UFOs like Art Bell, or worried if NASA can make it with the next space drama as a tile comes off and all this nonsense. No, this is to suck you in and support NASA, which does nothing really except put up satellites up there which work in conjunction with HARP, and they spy on you. That's NASA's main job. That's what it does, you know. So yeah, those on the shortwave who know what's happening have to live with the knowledge every day. They have to cope with the reality and the bleakness, because we're going through a bleak period right now. Everyone is who's aware is sensing something coming quickly. Something wicked this way comes, as they used to say. We know there's more and more restrictions, especially in rural areas, with what you can and cannot do, and they're passing laws all the time. We know the gasoline's being pushed up, and Mr. Rumsfeld, at least on the media up in Canada, announced that gasoline might double. He said going from $70 a barrel to $140 a barrel, and that was a trial balloon. They do this once in a while to test out the public reaction as they do their quiet polls all over the place. And as long as the media doesn't follow it up, and they don't, and the public are trained only to think about what the media tells them to think about. So if the media seems concerned about something, then so are the public. Zygmunt Brzezinski documented all of this in Between Two Ages, one of his books, in the technotronic era. Now, the technotronic era is the era we live in, and it's an era where they use advanced secret technology, advanced and secret from the public, but really old technology, such as the HARP program, coupled with satellites and so on, to once again do their favorite little act, which is to try and control the minds of the public. HARP is beaming out now 24 hours every single day. They step up the power when they really go to town and spray the skies non-stop, and this has a tremendous effect on our weather. They can either cause thunderstorms, or they can spray over thunderstorms and dissipate them. That's why there's a drought in many areas. So they can do both. This is old technology, going back to Tesla, at least Tesla, although I doubt it, to be honest with you, because if you read about the Etruscans, who were the ones who built all of the subterranean tunnels under Rome, prior to Rome, and the Etruscans were also the people who had tremendous engineering. They taught the Romans how to build. That's where they got all their ideas and engineering skills for the aqueducts everywhere they went. Because wherever you go, the first thing you must do is steal the water, you see, and that's what the Romans did. So the Etruscans used to be called in to Rome on high festival days, which were just like today. They're all linked to the sunrise, sunset, or stars appearing, certain stars, or the moon, and which are still used in all high occult masonry today. And the Etruscans' favorite trick was to call down fire from heaven. So those of you who think that something new was put into Revelations where the great beast would call down fire from heaven should think again, because the Etruscans were doing this 2000 BC right up into the time of Jesus. So it's not a new trick, but it was never explained how they did it, but they certainly could do it. They could literally conjure up fire and bring it down from heaven to earth on demand, and I would call that a definitely advanced science. Science is the most secretive thing, because it gives you power, it gives the holder power, and you never share knowledge, which is power. So So it's no surprise to me that many technologies are being used today which are completely unknown of by the public who read popular mechanics or popular science, and they tell you, oh, we're just working on this, and one day we hope to be able to do yada, 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 when in reality, that's all part of the matrix. Whatever they tell you they're working on, the higher level of science, and there are three levels of science, you see, there's three levels of medicine too. From professorship down is the lowest level. So that's the real matrix, the low level, you see, from professorship down. So whatever they give you as being the latest is really antique. And what they really have is so far advanced that it's beyond what we're even given as science fiction. That the CIA had little handheld gadgets back in the 1950s, which were like mini harps, and they could literally pulse into your brain voices, commands, and so on. And it worked. These little machines worked on line of sight. And Professor or Dr. Nick Bagage displayed a whole bunch of these antique little mind control gizmos from the CIA on Wendy Mesley's show here in Canada about 4 years ago. And he had about three benches full of them. And this technology, of course, could also be, and here's the kicker, just like the Star Trek stun gun or the phaser gun, you could also set it to match the automatic beat of the heart. In other words, you could stop the heart if you wanted to. And we wonder why people had sudden fatal heart attacks years ago and just odd coincidences. And of course, we could never have done that because we didn't have the technology, did we? And that's why they get away with it. They never tell you what they're really using at the time. Now, Nick Bagage just also took this stuff over to the European Union Parliament because some of the members there were having these strange, weird attacks just before they got up to speak in Parliament. And he displayed it and demonstrated this stuff. And he says, there are people here who are using it on you. So this is old technology, antique technology. Well, if it was the size of a TV remote converter or a packet of cigarettes back in the 1950s, you can imagine how small it is today. And if you ever get strange thoughts or strange queasiness or feel terribly nauseated, and you happen to be speaking out about things, well, maybe it's not so paranoid after all to wonder if maybe someone's targeting you, because you certainly could be. Now, the whole problem comes back down to, what do we do about all of this? There are no groups you can join. Groups are immediately infiltrated or else are set up in advance by the controllers. And all you can get back to is number one. When you understand that you're simply living in a long, long succession of this plan, your lifetime's a little blip in one part of it, then you stop panicking. Your government is not being taken over as you live. It never was your government in the first place. It wasn't your father's or your grandfather's either. It was a system that was cleverly designed up long ago to give the impressions that people were really enemies and countries were really enemies and had us all fighting each other while the elite benefited from it. They kept the population down. They made tremendous fortunes through war. And they just happened to always own all the manufacturing processes. But that, of course, must be a coincidence too. So stop panicking. You're not being taken over as you live. This has been going on for thousands of years. And you can take comfort in the fact, too, that there's been a long, long lineage of people with the knowledge of what is happening who don't belong to this elite controlling group, who go on down through the ages with the knowledge and helping to pass it on to other people. That's why we know so much today. So, just like you start off with an avalanche, an avalanche, of course, is this new upcoming world order of total control if they get their way. You also have had many small snowballs being rolled along the ground and getting larger and larger and larger as time goes on, as we go on through this tremendous journey here through time and space. And you must always keep in mind that eventually a critical mass is met, and the critical mass does not depend on vast armies of people. It depends on the right quality of people with the right self-knowledge of who they are in the great scheme of things, and who are totally honest about themselves, because which is always the beginning of enlightenment. And you also come in contact with others of your own kind. The knowledge itself doesn't stay with you. Each time you speak it anywhere, as they know themselves, we basically broadcast. People actually broadcast, you know, with when they have a eureka moment, something suddenly strikes them, and they'll find that people across the planet are being hit with the same thing at the same time. And this is something which is at the moment outside of their control, but they do recognize it, they know about it. Arnold Toynbee, who was the Rhodes Scholar and a globalist for the elite, he ran the scholarship programs, I should say. Professor Arnold Toynbee made a speech about it, and he said, you know, when a thought is put out there, he said, it's well understood that people pick it up all over the planet. So when your heart is pure, and you're as pure as you can possibly be, you don't want to stop things as they are and have some vague pretense past come back again, like let's live in the Victorian age or something. No, you're honest about the whole system, and you know the whole system is unnatural. Then you can broadcast, as I say. Others pick it up, and it's like putting a series of batteries together. The voltage increases tremendously with each person who wakes up and starts to really come alive and think. Well, that's been a pretty brief hour, and I've rambled on a bit here trying to get a lot in, and nothing is prepared, but I hope for you it's been of interest. I guess Jackie will be back tomorrow night to talk to you about other things. Thank you and good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with